Well, on today's podcast, we're talking about World Communications Day, which falls this year on Sunday, the 12th of May. And artificial intelligence is the theme. You might have noticed that earlier in the year for the World Day of Peace, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, addressed the issue of artificial intelligence when it comes to weaponry and warfare and peacemaking. And artificial intelligence is very much the order of the day when it comes to information technology and communications. So I'm delighted to say that today we're joined by Bishop John Arnold, who's our media bishop, and we're just going to discuss a few of the themes surrounding the Pope's message. Bishop John, how are you doing?
Very good. Thank you very much for the invitation to speak.
Now, great to have you here. And well, I say here, it's remote, isn't it? We're using technology to do this. So to look at a few of those issues, they're not easy. And in the Pope's message, he actually proposes a lot of questions regarding the ethics. And in fact, it's a sort of, well, look, technology can be put to the service of the common good. We are to embrace technology and be enthused and excited by it. However, there are things we need to look at, particularly with the speed in which it comes in and whether actually people suffer on the other side of the argument. So all these things to talk about. The theme is artificial intelligence and the wisdom of the heart towards a fully human communication, human, I think, being the operative word. And the Pope looks at how radically AI is affecting the world of information and communication, the pros and cons, obviously challenging us to consider whether this is an opportunity or whether it's a threat. And you and I have talked about this a few times off mic, but I'm going to ask you the question that crops up quite early in the Pope's message, which is, how can we remain fully human and guide this cultural transformation to serve a good purpose?
Well, I think we've got to be very careful as we approach artificial intelligence. As with all scientific discoveries, progress, there's always going to be a positive side, but it needs to be measured and limited so that it doesn't in any way detract from the good that it's doing. It needs proper boundaries. And the Pope welcomes artificial intelligence in the beginning of his message, hoping that it can enhance our human condition. But he says that there are some dangers and that there is a negative side that we've got to be very careful to exclude from the way that we use artificial intelligence. And that's really something which is open in the message. And as you say, he poses a number of questions as to quite how we will need to control artificial intelligence so as to draw the benefits of it, but to avoid anything which is negative or destructive.
Yeah, and we'll come on to that sort of machines replacing humans argument, which has long been an argument since the 60s when we looked in sci-fi terms at some of the technology that is coming to pass now. But I like that key point about the heart, because this is the Pope grounding it in the human, isn't it? Saying that our heart and our humanity need to inform how we interpret and process the information in the way a computer or a machine might go through a flow chart of zeros and ones, however intelligent, to make its judgment and collect information. Our heart is quite a complicated thing, but it's a very human thing, isn't it? So it's that human side that helps us, I hope, regulate the speed this moves and to stop, if you like, machines taking over.
Certainly, there's a whole question of discernment, seeing what is good for humanity, what helps us in our progress, because all through the centuries since humanity began, it's developed different ways in which it's improved its existence. We've learnt many different ways in which we are more refined, more progressive. We've added so many things to our society which are good for our health and our well-being. But we've got to be very careful that most things that bring benefits can also bring things that can detract from the benefit that they offer. And these are things that need to be identified carefully and then excluded from the way that we use something. Just about every invention that we have, there's a negative side, and we've got to be sure to identify that. And the human heart is a very good way of describing our discernment as to what is good for humanity, what progresses who we are, what adds to our dignity, our well-being, and also to identify those things that are not so positive and things that can be quite destructive.
Now, we're a little bit older, aren't we? And sometimes, you know, people look at some of these technological advancements as a bit of a young person's game. But I think that the truth is, we can find uses, can't we? Even where we might have said, right, we research in this way, we gather our information in this way. I can sometimes see AI as being beneficial in bringing things together at a speed. But that never changes. It's a bit like Wikipedia in its first days, wasn't it? When people were relying on it as a source rather than saying, well, it might give you a pointer, but you need to go to the actual source to put it under some degree of rigor. So isn't it just one of those complementary technologies that, yes, can speed things up, yes, can help us along the way a bit, but it's still our discernment, isn't it? It's still for us to say, let's not take that 100% at face value. Let's put it under rigor, as we do in theology and we do in all our work, don't we?
Well, as the Pope is very clear in pointing out, artificial intelligence can gather information at a speed that is really beyond our human ability. We gather so much together and it can process so many facts, so much information and feed it back. That's excellent. And he welcomes that. And it's something which I think we should all benefit from. But at the same time, it's a question that it shouldn't be making decisions for us. It needs to process information and deliver that information, but it can't progress and show an intelligence of its own. Intelligence belongs to living beings, not to machines. And we've got to be very careful that it doesn't start making decisions for us, because it's not really there competent to do so. And human wisdom would indicate that it can't do that.
I hope this question is not too off the wall, but I get the sense actually that being people of God and having a divine creator, as it were, I feel that sort of in a sense can hold us in check and gives us a little bit of an advantage, doesn't it? Because we're not really making gods out of ourselves, and there's almost like a divine regulator, is there not?
Oh, certainly. And let's face it, human wisdom is limited. And we as Christians rely very much on the guidance of the Spirit, on providence in our lives to guide us in much of what we're doing. And machines can't dictate that for us. We've got to maintain a sense of independent thinking, independent discernment and wisdom in order to find the way ahead. What is God asking of us as individuals, as a community, as a global humanity? And if we are learning in that way, then yes, let's use machines in all sorts of ways to assist us in what we're doing, to make our world a better place, to enhance the way that we live. But let's not allow machines in any way to think for us or to make decisions which are not appropriate in some way.
And you use that word global. I mean, the Pope also talks about sensible regulation, doesn't he? He's sort of addressing the secular world in that one. We need a sort of binding international treaty to make sure that the development of AI in all its forms is regulated for the common good.
Certainly. Unfortunately, we're not very good at international treaties at the moment, are we? We need lots of treaties in different places in our world and better understanding. And that was forged ahead, wasn't it, by the United Nations in its foundation. But it's somewhat been stalled by, well, political feeling and different individuals who won't comply with international agreements. But certainly to have an international agreement would be a major step forward in understanding the benefits of artificial intelligence and also to understand its limitations.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was the Rome Calls initiative not so long ago with regard to the sort of big tech giants signing up to that. So I think they know they can't just forge ahead. There is that need to regulate and to be sensible. I'm going to ask you a bit of a playful question here, because I look at things like Magisterium AI, and I heard a talk from the founder of that particular project that, if you like, makes the teaching of the church accessible 24/7. There's nearly 6,000 documents that it takes as its knowledge base, including some of your own documents as part of the Bishop's Conference. I've noticed Cherishing Life and other things. You know, if you ask it what the church is teaching is on X, Y, and Z, simple questions. So really, really good uses. Do you use AI yourself, Bishop John, in any way, shape or form?
Well, I suppose I Google various things and I look for definitions of things. This Magisterium, it's a wonderful bank of knowledge, isn't it? And with all the technical ability that it has to round down to exactly what you're looking for in an instant, instead of wandering through a library and looking through thousands of pages, hoping that what you want is in a particular volume. It does it all for you. And that's something which is making learning accessible. It's not changing learning, and it's not dictating anything that hasn't been approved as being magisterium of the church. It's simply keeping in a store, in an enormous bank, with wonderful search facilities, what the teaching of the church is and how that applies to us. So that's a real asset, but it's not intelligence.
And you've got one of those minds, if you don't mind me saying, that is very sort of legalistic and systematic and runs through the processes. Could you ever see an occasion where you might say, give me a homily on Christ the King, and then I will modify it using my own wisdom and intelligence?
Oh, I would certainly need to modify. When I speak, it's got to be me speaking to the people who are listening to me. Otherwise, it's the text being read. And I don't feel that that is a good way of communicating with people. I don't think it's sincere. Certainly, if I'm trying to explain something to people in a homily or a talk, I may well look for those texts that may be helpful to me. But then I've got to be honest about what I want to say to people in my own way. Otherwise, I think I'm deceiving people.
Yeah, and that's, to be honest, I think back to some of those world communications messages of Pope Benedict, and he always said that the human is the authentic part of the communication, and you need to be authentic to yourself, including social media profiles where you might hide behind avatars and names and things that don't necessarily represent you. So all the way through, we've had these arguments about being authentic, haven't we? And in the face of machine learning, machine technology, it's the same argument, is it not?
Yes. When we look at Pope Francis, how individual he is in what he says, the way he says things, we know it's him. He's taking texts and teaching and Christian principles, but translating them through his own spirituality to a changing world where he is a spiritual leader, reminding us of gospel values in the context in which he sees them and understands them. And I think that's an individuality which we mustn't lose.
Do you know, and I think when working as a journalist, and I look at the technology now, there is that question, not just journalism, many industries, about machines making humans redundant, isn't there? As I mentioned a bit earlier. And so, you know, you can have information brought forth very quickly, as you say, that the Pope says is a positive. But he also makes that point specifically about war reporting as an example. You know, we know we get propaganda in war always, you know, irrespective of humans on the ground. But if you weren't to have humans on the ground, the eyes and the ears bringing you the stories. And these days, you know, phones and social media, literally almost unmediated, one needs to have humans speaking about what they see. But that's important, isn't it?
Yes, I think the human experience brought to us by the humans who have experienced what they've seen is still vitally important. And I think he's very robust in his support of journalism there again. But if we look at journalism, we've got to be very careful about where truth lies there and where opinion can sometimes intrude to the point of distorting truth. But journalism is important, and that experience of episodes, particularly of conflict, are so important to us that we should know so much more about what is happening in our world by people who have actually been there and witnessed it and are reporting it.
Yeah, I think you make a good point there. And as you say, the Pope quite specifically mentions fake news and deep fakes, where people are seen to be speaking authentically, but actually it's not their voice. It's manufactured and it's made to deceive, I suppose, in that sense, and causes no end of reputational damage, I'm sure, on top of that. So, Bishop John, what would our final message be to our Catholics in the pews on World Communications Day, which is Sunday, the 12th of May, in terms of, you know, how should they opt in? How should they have a voice? How should they not be alarmed by technological change, but also be that voice of, hang on, we need to keep an eye on this?
Well, I think as individuals, we've got to be very careful the way that we use it, to recognise that we can be led astray by fake information if we're not careful, and to make sure that we're testing what we hear before we proclaim it to be true. So it's a difficult time, but it's something which is possibly of enormous value to us. But we've got to be very sure about the lines of a definition as to what can be good and useful and what really needs to be avoided.
Yes, very well said. So it's technology at the service of the common good, really, as with so many things. Well, look, Bishop John, thank you for being positive. Thank you, too, for striking that cautious note, because I think we absolutely need it and we need to be on our guard whilst adopting the good, of course. And I hope you have a good World Communications Sunday. And thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, James.